My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, hey, I'm Ricky Bobby.
And I'm Cal Naughton Jr. Let's talk about kids on leashes.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Fire Safety Week is right around the corner, and here are a few important tips you might want to listen to.
Wrapping your kids in newspaper at bedtime sounds like a good idea. Keeps them warm. But guess what? That stuff's flammable.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Hey, we've all run around with an empty milk jug full of gasoline and lit it in an open field, but make sure there's a parent close by.
And Brendan Sprague.
What's better than a nap? A nap with a cigarette. I know. I do it. If you're going to sleep in bed, make it a hammock. So if it lights on fire, you fall down and wake up.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Fire safety begins in your brain at home.
The Fan.
Click. All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube. Good morning, YouTube. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. You can reach the show, the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouverford.com. We will talk about the Cougars victorious in the Apple Cup against the Huskies.
Hell yeah, Cougs.
Washington with the most undisciplined defense I've seen in a long time. And offensive play calling. Let's run an option to the short side. Way to help the Cougars win that game.
Is he negotiating with Florida yet, or has that not started? Or,
well, somebody is, because clearly Napier's going to be out of there. That is evident from college football's week three dealings. But,
ooh, buddy, that was bad.
We will start the second hour. Your Oregon Ducks victorious against my Oregon State Beavers down in Corvallis, 49-14. Total yardage was 546-309. Rushing was 240 to 130, and really not much to talk about on the competitiveness, I think, of this game outside of the first quarter.
Yeah.
Oregon running away with it, starting in the second, and then just destroying the Beavs in the second half, outscoring them 27-0. So Oregon improves to 3-0. Oregon State is now 2-1. In one of the weirdest feeling civil wars of my lifetime,
yeah,
the Beavs get absolutely blown out at home by your Ducks.
I feel like there's three different pathways to the conversation. What our takeaways are on Oregon, what our takeaways are on Oregon State, and then the general feeling of the rivalry. I feel like there's three different tracks you can go down. I will start with Oregon because to me it was, and you know, my glasses are on here. It was the biggest thing. Oregon fan desperately needed this. You needed to have the proof and the evidence that this is a good team, and if they don't do things to shoot themselves in the foot constantly, and they can solidify their offensive line, This is in there somewhere. And it was the one thing last week coming off of another tight, uncomfortable, how the hell is this happening game against Boise State, that in the second half, at least, I felt like they found themselves defensively until the big runs happened after turnovers, and they found themselves offensively until they turned the football over. Like, there was something there that I could grab a hold of and say, I think there's a good team in here somewhere. Now, they just got to stop doing the dumbest thing possible at the worst possible time, which is what they've largely done through the first 2 weeks of the season. But so much of what happened to them against Idaho and so much of what happened to them against Boise was self-inflicted. It was just a, not catching a snap or snapping when the quarterback's not ready and fumbling, or a quick turnover change when you're driving to take a 7-0 or, take a 7-point lead, turning into a 10-point lead or a 14-point lead. You fumble, you give up a 70-yard touchdown. So much of that stuff is self-inflicted. And they finally, for the first time this season, got out of their own way and they settled on an offensive line combination. Poncho was in at center, Strother was in at guard. You still did not have Bedford play. And Dylan Gabriel wasn't even breathed on this weekend. He wasn't touched. I don't know, on his long touchdown run, I don't think anybody laid a finger on him.
There was a finger at the last second.
Finger at the pylon. Yeah. I mean, what they did to protect him and to control the line of scrimmage, It was a sight for sore eyes, man, because that line was atrocious the first 2 weeks of the season. And so it was just a nice deep breath for Oregon fan of saying, like, sure, the rivalry is a whole other part of it, but just like, okay, I think there's a good football team in there. Now we have some evidence. Now, where do they go from here? I don't know. But at least we have the evidence that they have the ability of being a good football team.
Where they go from here is 5-0. Because they're going to have a bye, and then they get UCLA and Michigan State. They're going to win those games.
But I think the point is that those games aren't the games that Oregon's going to be judged on this year. And when you're struggling against inferior opponents, it doesn't leave you hope against the better opponents.
Right.
And so hopefully you go do this again two more times, and then we find out on October 12th.
Barring injury, though, I think we're looking at Ohio State. Michigan, I don't think they have a quarterback, so like their defensive line's nasty, but your offensive line, you stuck with a group this week and you showed that, Bedford comes back. He's going to take the right guard spot from Strother, but Cornelius and Connerly, you had Poncho at center. He had no problems, no snap issues.
No.
Harper's been fine at left. I think that was when we talked about this game on Thursday, Friday, Wednesday. I can't remember what day it was, but I just remember saying, like, my biggest concern is the pass rush. Oregon State has not had a legitimate pass rush in far too long.
No.
And I hadn't seen any evidence this year, even against Idaho State and San Diego State, that pass rush was something that was finally going to arrive. Even with a questionable or shaky offensive line performance in 2 weeks, I still think you had horses on that front that were going to make life difficult for Oregon State. And they more than did that. They basically neutralized. It did not exist. Dylan Gabriel could have done the same thing had no Oregon State defensive line been on the field.
It felt like 7-on-7 at times, to be honest with you.
It absolutely did. The read on the quarterback run, the long run that he had, I mean, they highlighted it on the broadcast. Oregon State completely had a breakdown. There was one player to be taken care of. He got taken care of. Gabriel's gone.
He chased after the back, and he thought he would have some help behind him. He said, I'll take the pitch, man, and it didn't work out.
They shut down Oregon State's rushing attack. The Beavs technically finished with a 4.1-yard average and 130 on the ground. That is very deceiving. That is an absolute lie. I watched the game.
A lot of it was McCoy scrambles.
Hankerson and Griffin was under 3 yards per carry. Yeah. To your point, yes, it was McCoy. The passing attack, something I was dreading going into this matchup or questioning, it didn't exist. 170 yards is also a lie to me. I watched it. They could not move the ball down the field. This one was ugly. It felt optimistic kind of at first because their opening drive ended with them kicking the ball in the center's butt, which we can have a different conversation. Like, you took our kicker. We don't have a kicker. The second drive, they scored the touchdown to tie the game. That was encouraging. By the second quarter, I think you could just watch that game and go, yeah, there's a difference here. And the second half didn't shock me whatsoever. You are right, though. There are three conversations to be had. The Oregon stuff, the Oregon State stuff, and the rivalry itself.
Yeah.
But to your point earlier, Oregon showed you this is why they had hype. This is why they had noise. This is what they can do. Now, they might actually even get better on the offensive line if Bedford comes back soon. I didn't think he would play in this game. I just kind of had a weird hunch that they were going to try to get through this non-conference stuff without him.
And you got a bye week
And
now.
You have a bye week. So then if he comes back for, was it UCLA, then Michigan State?
UCLA on the road, then Michigan State at home.
If he does that, that gives him a lot of time to rest up and get better. And that group did a great job on Saturday.
I feel like the biggest mistake that, not just Oregon State fan, but hell, even reporters who cover the team who mask themselves as fans, but like partially reporters, it's kind of weird. They allowed Oregon doing a lot of detrimental things to themselves the first 2 weeks to convince them that there wasn't a big talent gap here. And that was the one area that I was
would be ridiculous.
It is. I mean, that was said by a reporter for the Oregonian that there's not a massive talent gap here. It's like, yeah, there is, dude. And there should be. Unfortunately, because of what they went through in the last year, you lost your coach, you lost your conference, and you lost half your damn roster. Like, yeah, there's going to be a talent gap here. If Oregon is not going to come into this game and do things to hurt themselves, you have no chance to win. That's just the reality of it. If they throw a couple of picks, fumble a snap, have a bunch of penalties, a callback big plays, then you got a puncher's chance because you're tough and you're physical and you're playing at home and it's not an easy place to go in and win. Oregon hadn't won there since 2018. If they're going to be efficient and not turn the football over and not have penalties, you don't have it's just about how long can you hang in there because of what the talent gap is between the two programs. And that's where I kind of wanted to talk about Oregon State, because I understand that it's a demoralizing loss, and 49-14, the final score is embarrassing. Again, I think a lot of that was this optimism that existed that you could potentially win the game from some fans last week. But I actually came away from their first half. They followed their game plan to a T. They completely controlled the time of possession. Oregon had
dominated the time of possession.
Oregon had three possessions in the first half.
Yeah, but that was also
three.
Because you guys scored so quickly.
No doubt, but it also was because we couldn't get off the field. You kept picking up third downs, and we couldn't tackle them. McCoy was scrambling around. Like, the opening drive of the game, he had a third and 15. We're like, all right, this is easy. We're going to get off the field. Nope, he got 30, 40 yards on the run.
Got it.
I actually came away from the game, considering what in my mind is a massive talent gap, impressed with how tough and physical they were. I knew they couldn't throw the football downfield. That being considered, I loved their RPO game and the little quick stick routes and the quick slants that they were hitting. They don't have a downfield threat, so you're playing with a hand tied behind
Walker's
your back.
Walker's their best target.
Walker's their best target. He had a really nice game for an in-state kid. That was cool, but I don't know. I came away with, this was a 25-14 game with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. The problem is when you run this, you know, we're going to, you know, shrink the clock and shrink the game, you got to make stops in. And they literally didn't get a stop the entire game. And so eventually the talent just overwhelms you, and Oregon didn't make any mistakes. But like, let's not sit here and act like this was 42-0 at the first half. It was a one possession game at halftime.
Yeah.
You held them to a field goal in their opening drive of the third quarter. That was self-inflicted because it should have been a touchdown and he missed Tez Johnson on the quick out route. But that's a 25-14 game halfway through. You hung tough as long as you could, and Oregon didn't do anything to hurt themselves.
We'll get to the Beavs side of that, because Oregon obviously did what Oregon has been trying to do all year. They finally did that. Gabriel's numbers, he's going to set history.
He was amazing.
He was unbelievable. Breaking news, when you give him time, he's really good.
I mean, even in the first 2 weeks without time, his completion percentage is 84%, which is wild.
But you and I had talked about, right? Like, the Idaho game was a little deceiving. The numbers were really good, but there's a lot of dinking and dunking. Just, that was kind of like an extension of the run game. Boise, he was good. He had trouble picking up blitzes, as did the offensive line. And so you're like, I know the numbers are great and he's good. It feels weird. Well, it turns out the offensive line makes a massive difference to making all of those numbers look much better. I was outside at halftime, and my neighbor across the street had gotten a piece of my mail, and she was wearing a Beav thing, and her husband was a dog. I was like, oh, you guys are a house divided.
Hey,
she goes,
Civil War.
We're going to a friend's house. I go, well, we're only down one score. And she goes, yeah.
I go,
I know. And so, like, I hear what you're saying.
It didn't feel like Oregon State was going to win the game at all. I'm not arguing that, but I'm just saying, I think we just have to be honest here. There's a massive talent gap between these two teams.
But you're talking about one individual in the media, and you and I, we didn't disagree on that. That was the thing we talked about last week. And so let's get to that on the other side. Oregon State and how we feel about that. And then, should this game be played? You want to keep it going? I think there's one more scheduled. Do you like having this game in September? We'll get to that coming up next. Your thoughts are welcome to the Vancouver Ford text line. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid.
The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jerry Allen on the call. Ducks Radio Network heard here on The Fan. Listen to a little bit of the pregame show.
Idiot. Those guys are idiots, man.
Dude, the host of that thing.
Dude, he sucks.
He was terrible.
This guy sucks.
This team blows.
You would think he just went to Oregon as some duck honk. And then, you know, his co-host is on that thing, and he's just like, you would think he played for the university.
Who does he think? Who does he think he is?
Unbelievable.
Man. Who does he think
Such
he
a biased pregame show. Oregon wins against Oregon State 49-14. I think you're making some valid points. I mean, if you go look at my Twitter account, I'm like, Gundy's calling a great game. They're optimistic a little bit. Defense was, they hadn't quite got gassed when I had mentioned some stuff, and then it just, the walls gave in, and Oregon's blowing them out.
Yeah.
Jaden Lamar with a really nice, you know, little screen touchdown pass there, little dump pass that had the offensive lineman pulling in front, but they didn't even need him. Nobody was around to touch them.
No.
Look, I think it's one thing.
I think there are certainly things to question or criticize with Oregon State. I think what's tough for me is that I didn't come in. I picked Oregon State with the points. We do the rah-rah, beef duck thing that every, you know, people play into. I wasn't overly optimistic they were winning this game. I knew what the talent gap was. I'm not an idiot. And so, like, I'm not shocked to see Oregon have success with Gabriel on the ground or through the air or a Jaden Lamar breakaway run. None of that caught me off guard. So it's hard for me to sit here and have so much criticism because Oregon State's schedule is not Oregon going forward. It's a bunch of Mountain West patsies, a couple tough Mountain West teams. UNLV's looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State, I think, right now is better than you. Washington State looks better than you.
Purdue got housed.
Again, I'm not going to take away that Purdue lost by 60, so Oregon State's going to roll. They might win that game, and I'll be very happy if they do. I have no feel for what Purdue really is on a talent level with Oregon State right now. What I would say are there are little things defensively. I don't know. I know Oregon has much better players than Oregon State's defense on their offense. But my God, I just sometimes I'm watching them like, did you in any way prepare for any of this?
I know.
And the other part is, and this doesn't matter, it would not change anything. Punting down 25 on 4th and 6 at almost the 50.
That wouldn't bother you?
Yeah. Did it bother me? Yeah. I saved it. I'm talking about it on a Monday. If that's who you are as a coach, very concerning.
Yeah.
Very concerning. You had to wait to be down 32 before you decided to go for it on 4th down.
You got nothing to lose at that point. You might as well give it a shot. I think part of my optimistic take, honestly, coming out of the game for Oregon State had to do with the fact that, and I know this will make people's heads explode because Oregon just barely beat Boise State a week ago. You're not playing a team that's that talented the rest of the year. I know that Boise State hung with Oregon. Again, a lot of that was self-inflicted wounds and them just not finding their rhythm. Like, I think if Oregon and Boise were to meet again in a couple of weeks, I have a strong opinion that the game would go a little bit different because Oregon just couldn't get out of their own way in that game with penalties piling up left and right, killing drives, turnovers at the wrong time. And if you don't fumble twice in the fourth quarter, you maybe win that game by 14 points and we're having a completely different conversation last week leading into the Civil War. So part of my takeaway from it, being slightly positive on Oregon State, was that you're not going to see a talent gap that wide the rest of the season. Now, you're not wrong. I don't know what to make of Purdue. They did lose by 60 at home to Notre Dame. Cal looks feisty, but they look better than you, but I don't think Cal's unbeatable.
I'd hate to interrupt you. Should be noted just for the record before we get to Purdue at some point this week. You basically had the same team you have now play in the bowl game against Notre Dame. How'd that go?
Not great.
So Notre Dame would have also housed you this weekend.
Not great.
I hate to say that, but it's
true. Probably. But I just, what my larger takeaway, though, is just simply that, yes, there are challenging games left on their schedule. It's not as easy as maybe some thought coming into the year because of the way Boise looks, UNLV looks, the way Cal looks. Washington State is awesome.
Yeah, Cal's another team. Thank you for bringing them up.
So I understand that it looks a little more challenging, but I also don't think that you're playing anybody that has close to that level of talent the rest of the season. And so that's the reality. The part about Oregon that was always true was that they just needed to get out of their own way. And how many times did they turn the football over on Saturday?
Zero.
How many times did they have a penalty that called back a big play?
Zero?
Zero.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it just, how many times did you look at them and they're like, what are you doing? That was stupid. Why would you do that? Not very many, other than letting a quarterback scramble on 3rd and 15 and pick up a first down and losing track of a guy who really the only thing they can do to beat you is use his legs. That was kind of dumb, but they didn't do anything to hurt themselves. And when they play at that level, that's what the score is going to look like. And so it's a barometer game for you. I would also take away, going forward, the Jabari Johnson thing, we need to, like, what are we doing? Why is
they're
he
doing
getting
the Aiden Childs thing?
That was an absolute momentum killer. Not that they're going to win that game if they don't do that, but they were moving the ball well as an offense.
Yes.
They moved it great on the first drive, had to settle for the field goal and kicked it into an offensive lineman. They scored a touchdown on their second drive. You bring him in, he's dropping snaps. It's pretty obvious what you want to do.
Like, are other programs doing this? Because they're doing this again. They did it last year with DJ and Aiden. And I thought maybe they're doing this to replace DJ at some point, and they didn't. Are other programs doing this, playing a freshman like one series or more a game and then putting the other guy back in
most
of the way?
It, but I don't think in the first quarter. Like,
I guess Texas is doing this.
Because I asked about that last week.
Well, they had to because Quinn Ewers got hurt. They weren't playing Arch before blowouts, though. They weren't giving him the third series of the game automatically.
Well, I know he had played in a different game, but again, I think they were blowing that game out.
They were blowing him out.
Bama's not, I mean, I'm not comparing not Oregon State it. To these pro. I'm no. just like, I don't see this happening. And so I'm like kind of curious what's behind this. I think their offense is what their offense is. Like Gundy, we had alluded, maybe they're going to do some stuff we haven't seen. I don't think they have stuff we haven't seen.
He tried a trick play. It got blown up, but he tried a trick play.
Yeah, he had tried a trick play against San Diego State, and they dropped the ball. I think this is just who they are, and we need to accept that, and we need to move on with stop acting like there's a playbook section that's not open. If Gundy had it, he had opened it up.
Yeah.
Their quarterback is limited throwing. Clemens, he was the big get for them in the transfer from Michigan.
Nothing. Is he banged up or is he just not playing?
He was hurt, so he wasn't starting. And they also had an offensive lineman not randomly play. Wells was out at the start, and I was like, where'd that come from? So they were down two offensive linemen to start the game.
Yeah, you got no chance, man.
And that's kind of where mentally I was making steak tacos. I had some friends over. You know, I love this game. This game is fun for me. I grew up liking watching this game, not really having a bias, and now I root for Oregon State in it. And September vibes felt weird. I saw the offensive line thing. I'm like, oh God, this is not going to go well. And the unfortunate thing, you're right, they won't play a team as tough as Oregon the rest of the way. But Washington State looks damn good.
They do.
Now, again, football is football. We don't know who's going to stay healthy.
And they have faltered late in seasons in the past. You got them at the end of the year.
Boy, that Cal game right now looks like a field goal fest, an ugly game that you hope you can, and you don't have a field goal kicker, so like that's going to get ugly. Boise is better than you. I would just outright say that. And UNLV with Odom, if they weren't attached to Nevada, they would have taken UNLV over Colorado State. There's no question in my mind about that. And we'll get into some conference stuff later. So those teams look better than you, or one of them looks like they can beat you. The unfortunate thing for Oregon State, that was their worst game of the year by a mile. They got blown out by their rival, and here's the worst part. It was their Fox game.
It was, a big nationally televised game.
So, like, Fox and ESPN completely railroaded this conference. This should still be a great conference. It doesn't exist anymore, and they're trying to bring it back to a pseudo Mountain West thing. And unfortunately for us, our Beavs, that game was on Fox. That was the national Fox game, and Oregon got to look like Oregon, and Oregon State looked like the team that, in some people's minds, got rightfully ditched at the altar for all this conference realignment thing. That was the bummer for me. Yeah. One that they lost to Oregon, that didn't shock me. It was that was their big Fox national game, and that was the margin of victory. That was the blowout on national television.
Well, I do want to get to that next, because I do think that's we've kind of covered Oregon and Oregon State, just the feeling about the rivalry, because I'll even say this, the trash talk when you beat a rival is fun. It's always enjoyable. Even though Oregon State fan was a bit yappy last week, it didn't feel fun. I didn't enjoy it. It just everything about it. Like Oregon State fan was texting in earlier saying I'm just bummed about everything that's going on.
It just
and
didn't
it's a
feel
game
right.
in September.
Yes, 100%.
And the gap is only going to widen in the years to come. And it just nothing about it feels right. And I am thrilled that my team looked like the team that I thought that they could be. And I was thrilled with the way that they played. That was as efficient of offensive game as they have had under Dan Lanning. They scored every time they touched the ball. Gabriel was out of this world. He showed you his athleticism. The offensive line looked like it was settled. They got weapons everywhere. I'm salivating again on what this team can do. But that's almost a secondary takeaway for me from the game of just how much of a giant bummer the entire thing is, because I didn't feel the way that I normally feel beating Oregon State and getting to laugh in your face.
I would actually love to throw this, because I know we need to go to break. I would love to throw this to people, to any listener out there that was a Beaver at that game, if you went to the game. I did not go. I heard from a couple people that went that they were surprised how many more Duck fans
a lot
were
of green
in
there.
Attendance.
A lot of green.
And I'm just wondering how many of those Beaver fans really were doing what Mike Parker said that he had listeners on his show say of like, I'm out. I don't care about this game anymore. I don't want it to exist. Like, I thought that was kind of, just fodder. And maybe it's a little more true than I was willing to admit, because there were more green and yellow, and I heard it wasn't quite the atmosphere they thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it felt like that on TV.
That surprised me.
Felt like that on TV.
All right. That's right. I got to kick it to break.
Yeah, this is your turn.
All right. I don't know where you want to go, but we'll
I think
get
we
to
go on that. I want to talk about the rivalry and where we go from here, because a lot of texts are coming in about that and where we go. So we'll read some of those.
There's
and we'll do
one
that.
More scheduled game between these two teams. So we'll get to that coming up, the future of that. The Cougs win the Apple Cup. We need to give the Cougs their flowers. Great start for the Cougars. 23% chance, ESPN says, of making the playoff. We'll dive back more into some NFL. Dirt and Sprague back with more football talk on The Fan.
All right. Welcome back in. Don't worry, Coug fans. We will get to your Apple Cup win. you took the trophy. You don't want to give it back. And I got to say, I kind of appreciate that effort.
That was an ugly, fun, rainy, classic Apple Cup game.
Those poor puppies, man.
Would have been really cool if it was
poor
in Pullman.
Puppies. Would have been great if it was in Pullman. So dumb that they played that at an NFL stadium. So ridiculously stupid.
Yeah.
So at least we had that going for us in the Civil War. I think the question does come to now, like, where do we go from here? The hope was always that Oregon State would find their way into a Power Four conference, and it'd be weird, but you'd still play the game, and you're a borderline Big 12 team or a borderline ACC team or whatever it would have been.
Yeah.
And you can keep it alive. The main argument, which I did chuckle because all the Beaver fans, not all of them, I shouldn't say all of them, some of them texting in now saying, we should never play this game again. We're texting in Thursday saying you're going to win the game. So it just, I do chuckle a little bit at that. But I think the fear from those who have been adamant about not wanting to play this game is that you're only going to see what you saw on Saturday get worse.
Yes.
Oregon's not going anywhere. Whether they win it all this year or not, they're only going to continue to compile talent. They're only going to continue to load up on their roster. And Oregon State has now been faced with the reality of what their future conference affiliation will be, which is a hopefully powerful group of five conference that has a great shot at making the playoff, but that's the pool that you're now going to be playing in. And I think a lot of this determination and decision doesn't even need to come from my side. I think it all comes to your side of, do you want to continue to play this game? Is it something that you want to hold on to and continue to see?
Well, I said this last week, and I know they lost by 35. Not if it's going to be here. You need to be doing what Clemson and South Carolina do. You need to.
So you're okay playing it at the end of the, even if it's still a blowout, you're okay playing it in November?
I'm telling you, 100%. Well, if it continues to be a blowout, sure. I'll listen to Oregon State fan that, and you do some big, like, alumni and fan or whatever poll, then okay, I'll listen to it. But I really do think, I know it sounds dumb, it wasn't weather that decided that game, but it just is such an odd feeling to be 70 degrees.
Yeah, it didn't feel normal.
And have a September matchup.
People are, by the way, I did want to read a couple of these quickly because you had asked. Dakota had chimed in and said, where did this go? I'm assuming he's a Beaver fan. Okay. He said, comparing it to the Washington game from last year, I could have had a library conversation the entire game, start to finish. It was difficult as a Beaver fan, not very electric.
When
you hosted Washington last year,
it was pissing rain.
I know, just the atmosphere though of almost knocking off a top 10 team, and how electric it was. the weather. He's not talking about the weather, just the general vibe in the stadium, despite the rain and fans peeing on the concourse. Another one that came in, basically said, I think it was from a Duck fan that basically said the same thing. Was I was there when they missed the field goal on the opening drive, and then Oregon scored. It was like the air was sucked out of the stadium.
Yeah.
And even at times they tried to make their comebacks. It still was not a raucous crowd, to say the least.
Well, I think you said the time possession was a good point, but I still think you could just look on the field and see the physical difference. I think that's always tough, right? Like when Oregon played Georgia, everybody that went to that game, including yourself, noted, like, you just went, Oh, this might not be good. You can just sometimes see that with teams.
And I was talking to people down there. They said you would not believe the size difference on the offensive and defensive lines.
Right, and I think I could see that through my television, and that was the difference. If this game goes away, it goes away. Given what the nature of college football is, it's something we'll yearn for probably at some point if it does go away. I'm so used to it being at the back end of the season and a build-up to it. But the talent gap thing is an absolute valid point. I don't know where the conference stuff's going to go. I know we got the Feldman report, the Clemson, Florida State stuff. They're trying to get that settled now. Like I think they filed something to basically say, make a judgment on this. We're tired of waiting.
We're getting the hell out.
And so I don't know what the ACC is going to be. But my feeling is you're going to end up with a Tulane Memphis type of situation, a UNLV, whoever, more than some of these other teams from the ACC. And if you get Cal Stanford, okay, you're a decent conference. You're not a Big 12, Big 10, or SEC, but your conference is a little better. Great. But that gap is going to continue to widen, because if your conference doesn't take a step up, you're not going to get as many Power 4, 3 conference players transferring in. You're going to get the three-star guy who couldn't cut it at Arizona. And that might be good enough for you in your conference, but compared to an Oregon who has four or five stars at almost every single spot, in fact, I don't know who their non-4 or 5 guy is at a single spot, it's going to be close to that almost every single time.
Yeah. Swag, do you want the game to keep being played?
Yeah, I think you need to preserve it. And I think if it goes away, it will be much more difficult to bring back at a future date. Now, do they need to find a better spot on the schedule for it? Yeah, maybe you play it Halloween week. Where the weather, you know, because they play the Texas-Oklahoma game is what, the first or second Saturday in October, and it's part of the Texas State Fair and some other stuff. So if you need to reimagine how to put the pomp and circumstance and the juice back into it, okay, go get some heads and the marketing heads between Oregon and Oregon State together and let's figure it out. Yes, would it be better? You know, maybe you do, and you play it on a Friday night, the week of Halloween or something like that, and make it special and have it at night, dark, cold, whatever. But I think it does need to be preserved. I think we're too much in the moment right now and not thinking about, okay, Oregon State, that can they put a conference back together, and can they slowly, that's everybody's going to come up and the talent gap will hopefully shrink. If in 5 years or 10 years or whatever in the new conference and it still goes, or if the Big Ten and SEC go totally away and do their own thing, then maybe it'll never come back. But for now, I think you need to have a mindset of trying to preserve this looking down the road.
Yeah, I think that's a totally valid argument. Somebody's texting in saying, guys, it was a one possession game at the half. It was. It was 22-14 at the half. It was a one possession game. Now, final score was lopsided and Oregon outscored them 27-0 in the second half.
But nothing about their defense suggested. See, I never felt threatened.
No,
Gabriel had all day, and it was something that I noticed early in the season was they couldn't generate a pass rush with just the front four.
Yeah, and so, like, you can tell, I said the same thing to my neighbor jokingly. Hey, we're only down one score. Oregon was getting the ball back, and they were going to score again.
Yeah.
There was nothing about that matchup that you saw in the first half, despite Oregon State having good time of possession, keeping drives going. There was nothing about what I had seen, despite what that score was, to say, oh, I feel like we can do this because our defense, Oregon State's defense, didn't show any signs of slowing or stopping that offense down.
I want to kind of wrap up this conversation. I put up a poll question. You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Should we continue playing the rivalry game? Just a simple yay or nay. I'm going to read some thoughts from fans. We're getting fans on both sides that were chiming in on this. I'm going to read some of those. And then we got to get to my Cougs at the top of the hour. We got to get to my Cougs.
Feels weird with you wearing those colors, acting like you're a Cougar.
My Cougs, man. I'm flying my flag. Let's go, Cougs. You're not getting this trophy back, puppies. We're taking it to Pullman with us, baby. Talk about a rivalry game that doesn't need to go away. The Huskies can't even beat them. You keep playing it. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour, back after this on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Shout out to Vince in Portland, who won the Secret Score $100 Laurelhurst Market gift card. A reminder on that, you got to listen to the postgame show. Yeah, they give you the Secret Score, and then we play the little jingle in the 7 a.m. hour on Mondays. And if you're the first one to give the score, text in, I believe, right? Isn't that what they do? Yes, thumbs up. You text it in the Vancouver 4 text line.
Yeah.
And you can win the $100 gift card.
We had somebody retweet our poll question. Mark Shipper, remember, he's the one that wrote, he's got fifth down quarterback. We've had him on before. He retweeted it. Now, Miami Hurricane fan responded, don't care.
Thanks, Miami.
We know.
Yeah. You don't care about your team either because you don't go to your games, but I digress. We're talking about don't worry, Cougs. We will get to you at the top of the hour. You deserve it.
You've delayed the Cougs celebration.
I'm letting it build. I'm letting the energy and the excitement build. Dude, I got a cousin who lives in Seattle.
Coug fan or a Husky fan?
Husky fan.
Yeah. I have a cousin that's a Husky.
If you look through our text history, big life events, nothing. Weddings, children, holidays, nothing. Mm-hmm. Literally the only time we ever text each other is when something bad happens to the other one's football team. That's literally it. And so last year was tough.
Sure.
First 2 weeks of the season were tough. He's chirping
yeah.
a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, buddy, did I unload the clip on Saturday.
Really?
I unloaded the clip on Saturday. Even better, as he was talking trash about still being in the Survivor pool, and then the Ravens lost the next day, and he was on the Ravens in the Survivor pool. Oh, dude, we were firing from the hip. So the poll question is up. You can go vote. I wanted to read a couple thoughts here at the Vancouver Ford text line. Somebody said, the pomp and circumstance is gone.
Yeah.
The game simply is a win for Oregon and a money grab for Oregon State.
Also cuts down on Oregon's travel costs considering the Big 12 or Big 10 situation.
Nice to have a bus ride once a year. If the Civil War was going to go away, then what was the point of playing it this year? I only wanted to play it this year as a beef to keep it running every year. I knew this year would be bad, thought we were going to keep it going, so I was willing to continue to
do it. Oregon State needed that game. And Oregon, I think, felt a lot of guilt from what they were hearing leaving the conference or helping blow the conference up and leave it and go to the Big Ten. So I think it was we feel bad. We need the game. We're hearing a lot of noise. Let's make it happen. Now, to my knowledge, because I think I heard this on the broadcast, they have one more scheduled for next year down in Eugene.
Next year at Autzen.
And then after that, it's kind of open, right? There's no guarantee.
The Apple Cup has a longer agreement, if I'm not mistaken. I think they did 5 or 6 years on their agreement, and we just did 2.
So I feel like they're going to end up getting an agreement because Oregon State's going to need the game and probably going to be a money situation. I also think Barnes, if I'm not mistaken, told Daschle, in their new conference, when they get to it, they want it to be 8 because they want 4 non-con games.
You want to have your chance to knock out big boys.
Well,
I would imagine, right?
Yes, but they also need money. I mean, I hate to say that. I hope they knock off big boys, but they need money just as badly as they do to beat the big boys.
Well, and Barnes said he wanted 9 teams so they could stagger
even
those non-conference
games
for teams throughout the year.
Yeah. The other part of this, and I haven't switched my thing from even 2 segments ago, but what I would acknowledge, having thought on it even 20 minutes, I totally get the other side that if this is what the outcome's going to be, you're not only going to lose the luster of this game, your attendance is going to drop in this game. And it's just not, if it stays at the date and that's the outcome.
That was the hard part for me this weekend, to be honest.
You're just not going to have any mojo to it. There's not going to be any excitement for that matchup.
That was the hard part, honestly, for me this weekend. It was that the vibe, and I'm glad that it's being reiterated, but I had a buddy who was down there, and so I was texting about just kind of what the atmosphere was like, and it wasn't what it normally is.
I was surprised by that.
That was the unfortunate part for me, was it felt like they had announced a sellout last week, and there was a lot of optimism because of the way Oregon looked in the first 2 games.
They made a big video with Cooks narrating.
I don't even think classes have started yet, have they?
No, but
the students were there, but they just left early.
To me, it's not even necessarily just about the students. It just was like, there was a lot of green. There was clearly a lot of people that sold their tickets that didn't have any interest in going to the game. It wasn't as visceral as it usually is between those two teams and the atmosphere that you know that you're going to get. Like, dude, the last time that they were there was 2 years ago. Oregon blew a massive lead in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those guys talked about how blown away they were at how much noise existed in that stadium. It was a half of a stadium.
Yeah.
And how intense that atmosphere was. They haven't won in Corvallis since 2018. And now the COVID game, there clearly wasn't a crowd for that one either. But there's something about going on the road and facing that reaction from a rival fan base that it just didn't. And maybe it was just the way the game kind of played out in the first half and not getting any stops or having big momentum plays. Maybe that was part of it as well from my vantage point on TV. But that did, I mean, it dialed it back a couple of notches for me where there were times I'm watching and it doesn't feel like there's animosity. It just feels like it's a September non-conference game other than when you guys were booing Atticus Sappington every time he came on to kick a PAT.
Outside of Bronco and Panther fan yesterday, the NFL fans can see their team struggle and know the game's not over because they'll come back. In college, more often in college, what you see is you can just see the difference. And I think to the energy part, selling tickets off and making money, not having maybe the energy people thought they would, whatever, I think it didn't get as loud as that game went on dirt because you could, I mean, I saw it on TV,
you could see it in person, you could just see,
oh, it's going to be one of these days. When their first possession happened, he wasn't breathed on. You mentioned earlier, it was like 7-on-7. What about that tells you that Oregon's offense is not going to keep up or outscore Oregon State? you see that happen early and you go, yeah, this thing can be great.
Yeah, and then he ran in the long touchdown, too, and you're like, oh, God, he's beating us with his legs, too. Yeah. Couple more quick thoughts here, and then I promise you, Cougs, we're going to get to you. As a non-Duck or Beaver, I'd hope they continue to play the game. Honestly, other parts of the country forget that Oregon has a state school, and if OSU can ever somehow beat them, it would be great. Just do it to show off the state to the country in a week where not a lot goes on in college football. Let me see what a Duck grad and season ticket holder's son went to OSU. We went on Saturday. Just a nicer game day experience than Autzen. Hey, how about that? Nicer people. Well done, stadium. They need to keep the game. And in September, to not play the other major university in the state is wrong. We need that bond for bigger reasons.
How about that?
Ditch November for better weather. So he's going in the face of everything that we're saying. I went to the game. It was depressing to see the amount of green and yellow in the crowd. The atmosphere was dead from the start. It solidified my stance that the game needs to be done. It's a guaranteed win for Oregon every year. That's not really a rivalry. The lower bowl, somebody texted in, was packed with Duck fans.
Yeah.
Never felt like a crowd that got loud for Oregon State. People are going to be all over the map on this. I do agree with Swag's ultimate take of we are very in the moment, in the bubble. Like, I think it's something, let it breathe. We already have the game next year, so it's a moot point anyways.
Yeah, but they lose by 35 next year. It's going to be even louder of stop this.
Yes, and that's when
this
the conversation
is embarrassing for Oregon State, yeah. And it becomes one of those, like, what are we getting out of it?
Deals? Yeah. One last one from a Beaver fan. There's no reason for the game to be played for Oregon State for two reasons. Don't give Oregon fans the satisfaction of maintaining tradition when they played a part in ruining it, and schedule an easier game. Look forward to the playoffs. All you have to do is be the highest-ranked team in one of the top five conferences.
Yeah.
And right now, the Pac will be bigger than the Mountain West, the AAC, and maybe even the ACC when Florida State and Clemson leave.
So Washington State certainly has that path ahead of them if they can stay healthy to make the playoff. And to that point, college football is dumb because they basically say, we don't care what your schedule is.
No.
Make it as easy as you can.
It gets back to the financial point, though, that you brought up. Sure, that makes sense football-wise, yeah. But where are the finances at, and do you need a payday to go play somebody to get your teeth kicked in? Because those are nice paydays. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. How about those Washington State Cougars? Is Jed Fish already on the phone in Gainesville? We'll talk about that. Cougs get the nice win. I mean, they deserve it. Why the hell not? How's the next Don James treating you?
Does Florida seem like a great job to you?
No.
I would argue it actually doesn't.
Not right now. The Cougs get a massive win. We'll talk about that. A couple other college notes, a few other NFL bits as well. It's a loaded football Monday reaction. Final hour next on The Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.